Would you turn with me again to the book of Malachi, the prophet Malachi, the last chapter, and as a text this evening, verse 2 in particular. Obviously, with the word but, it reminds us that it's not doesn't stand on its own. But taking verse 2, to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I spoke last Sunday evening about the bright and morning star, and if the bright morning star holds the promise of a new day, it's the sun that delivers it. When the sun rises at creation, we read that God made the sun to rule the day, to divide the light from the darkness. And I think that is the main force that is behind the image as it's used here of the sun. I say that because in other ways, which is actually reflected in the passage, but in other ways the sun's impact can vary vastly from one person to the other. If you were to talk to a man lost in the Sahara Desert or a Californian corn farmer these days, the sun is a menace or menacing, and it's far from benevolent. There's death and devastation in its heat, not health and vitamin D. So we need to, when we speak about the sun, we need to remember that Malachi defines the sun in this place. It's the sun of righteousness, and to understand it accordingly. I want to look a little this evening at what he means here by this title in particular, and the implications of that. I want to then just speak first about who he is. Who is this Son of Righteousness? Then to speak about who he comes to, that we have in this passage. And then, thirdly, what he will do when he comes. So first then, who is this Son of Righteousness? This is the first time this title appears in the Bible, really the only time in precisely these words. Who is in mind, therefore? What indications do we have as to who this is about? And perhaps you can work it out relatively simply. You might well imagine in your understanding of metaphor and so on who this might be. It is a person. It tells us in the next line, he comes with healing in his wings. It is a person. It's not just the object, the sun that's in the sky, that's in mind. It is a person. A true person, not just the sun god that was worshipped by other ancient peoples of the time. He is one who is distinct in his righteousness. But we, I think, find indications in, let's take what the Bible says, not to jump to conclusions, but we find shortly after this in the New Testament, when the Gospels open, the beginning of the New Testament era. In the first chapter of John, for example, we read about the Word, and it tells us in chapter 1 and verse 4 of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or we might say, overcome it. Or in the prophecy of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he speaks about the day spring from on high that has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And the sun is certainly that image of the light that comes down, that opens up the eyes of men, takes away the darkness, takes away the shadow. And if we are joining these lines together, the day spring, the light that comes to those who sit in darkness, these are all speaking of the Son of God himself. These are speaking of the one that was to follow John, the great coming helper of Israel. And so we have at the end of the Old Testament this person, a promise concerning him, a very powerful image of this coming helper for Israel and for God's people. What that implies, I'll come to in just a moment. I want to then also notice what it says about who he is coming to. It begins, verse 2 begins, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. He will arise to others as well. It says, speaks about the character of how he will deal with those who fear the Lord's name. This is the way that he will appear to the Lord's people, those who serve him, as it's described at the end of chapter 3. But he will also appear as is described in verse 1. It speaks just about the day coming, burning like an oven. The day which is coming shall burn them up. But the reason for that is because of that great heat of the sun. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where on a sunny morning you step out, doesn't matter what time of the morning it is, but you step out the door and it feels like you're walking into an oven. There are parts of the world where it's like that. And why is it? It's because the sun has been beating down, and it's the winds that it causes are sweeping through, and the result is this: the day itself is burning like an oven, and it will burn through. In this case, the proud and those who do wickedly. So he will appear. This is the same: the great heat, the heat of the day that comes from this Son of Righteousness. But to those who do serve him, as described in verse 18 of chapter 3, this brings a great promise, a promise to encourage. He comes to them, to those who fear the name of the Lord. He comes in his light and brightness when times seem low, when there is darkness all around. That's the very setting that's going on here. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 16, it's set within a context of hostility and sin and pride and wickedness. But amongst them all, there was this group together. It gives a sense, at least, of a very small group that were faithful to the Lord, and they spoke to one another, and the Lord took notice, and he would not forget them. So when there is when there's darkness all around, the sun is coming, and it's a sun of righteousness when there is wickedness all about. He's coming to those who remain faithful, who fear the Lord and encourage one another, who will be kept by the Lord, those who meditate on his name. They will be kept. They will be. He has a great blessing in store for them. And there is very clearly a distinction set out in verse 17. Not all will be spared. There are some that will be selected, and it's to them that he is coming in the way that we'll be seeing in just a moment. So the God-fearing are given confidence by this promise of the rising of this light and strength of the Lord. We saw it this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand. But for those who are faithful to the Lord, this is not a thing to be afraid of. This is the time when there will be the what we've been waiting for. But it is a matter for dread if we're not ready, if we're not serving, if we're not fearing the name of the Lord already. But the particular focus of this verse, he is coming to all men, but he is coming for his servants, his own people, to renew. The third thing, and to spend just a little longer here, what it is that he will do. Son, if you fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. There's devastation in verse 1. It's that same sun that is going to bring this in the burning of the day. But for those who fear the Lord's name, he will come with healing in his wings. I'm reminded of the Australian bushfires and the eucalypt trees that in the searing heat of summer, some of them spontaneously combust, they burst into flame. And it seems like a great disaster when great swathes are burnt out. But very shortly afterwards, you start to see new life sprouting. Amid the devastation, there's a new life that comes through that very burning, that great heat. He comes with healing in his wings. Now, what is meant by this image as well? Why healing in his wings? Well, there are have been discoveries of ancient symbols of the sun with wings attached, relating to the other religions of the time. But perhaps it's a depiction of the rays of the sun, and the rays that send out the blessings of the sun in the right places. It's possible too that there is something of a mixing of metaphors, that Jesus likened himself to a mother hen that gathers her chicks under the safety of her wings, and that spreading out and to gather together and to cover, and that healing, and remembering too that healing is often a closely correlated term with salvation. We saw some of these images in Psalm 89. You also see in Psalm 84, in verse 11, the Lord is described as a sun and shield. The wings are like a shield. They're protective. The Lord is that sun. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So he will come with healing in his wings. It's not certain quite what is intended by the wings, but it is very certain, very plain, what is in mind with the healing. As I say, it's a term that's closely related with salvation throughout Scripture. When God speaks about healing, he speaks about it accompanies forgiveness and restoration. The beginning of chapter 6 of Hosea, there is the call, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up." We tend to just use the word healing to concentrate on a physical damage that needs to be restored. It's been a little bit of that in the congregation in the past few days, hasn't there, with our young man. But it's about being brought to wholeness. The Hebrew has that wonderful word for peace. We can only translate it to peace, shalom, but it's a rich word. It talks about wholeness and the fullness of health. You see something of that, I think, when you read through the rest of this little chapter, where everything is reversed. In verse 3, you will trample the wicked. They've been trampling you. You will trample them. Not that that's what you set out to do with glee or anything of that sort, but they have been destroyed by the Lord. And where you walk over them. It's been a reversal after a history through the world of being afflicted. You will trample the wicked. But then also in verse 6, there's the turning, where there has been a history of broken lives and relationships. The hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. There's wholeness being brought back in to this world. the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. I don't want you to ignore or forget that that's not all that he will do. I have touched on it to try and explain something of what this Son of Righteousness, who he is and who he comes to, but just to take you back again, he will devastate. It's the day that will burn up the proud and the wicked, or if you like, the unrighteous, because he is the Son of Righteousness. The prophet Amos, he brought a warning to his people. They were looking forward to the great day of the Lord. They thought this will be their deliverance. But he said to them, for many of you, it's not going to be a day of light, it's going to be a day of darkness. Because you have not been following the Lord. You have not feared his name or served him. There will be those who will be devastated. But in the middle of that, and this is the particular focus this evening on verse 2, in the middle of that, there are those who will be spared. In the middle of that day of burning and darkness for many, there will be those who are spared. And this is not exclusive. This is something that all might enter into. All who would hear may become one of those to be spared. All it takes is to fear the Lord. All it takes is to meditate on his name, on his works, to dwell on him. All it takes is to serve him. And you too might be spared, will be spared. You will be healed. You will go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. This was a symbol of prospering and peace and well-being. This is the promise. Now this work has begun. I read those couple of references in the early part of the New Testament that were responses to the appearing of the Christ. The day spring from on high has come. Yes, he has come. And he's come to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. In the next chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus himself, in his own hometown, he stood up in the synagogue and he read that passage from Isaiah, and he said, "This is fulfilled today. I'm doing this," he says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." The work has begun. The Son of Righteousness has come, and he has come with healing in his wings. And he's begun that work of healing. Yes, the work, as it's described, is still to be completed in the fullness of what Malachi is saying. A day of devastation and of healing, of judgment, of salvation, the great day of righteousness. But because it's being started, that work, it will come. It will come. The day is coming of this discernment, this separation. The day will come, and if we do fear the Lord, this will be a day of complete renewal, of full healing, and something to press us forward and to keep us true to him, that we too will be like those who fear the Lord then, speaking to one another, even surrounded by those who would trample them down, but continuing to serve the Lord and remain faithful to him. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Do you hurt in your life, in your heart? Do you bear burdens and pains? And if you don't now, I'd be surprised if you never will. But please come. Most of all, are you right with God? Does that relationship still need to be healed? Because already there is that way of healing. This one who will bring true healing has come. And he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls." Especially that healing, the healing of the heart with God. And so there is, because of that, there is that promise of the full healing and health to come. But it's here that you will find it, in this one who is here called the Son of Righteousness. This one, that person we've discovered, the Lord Jesus himself. So hope for him. He has come, he's begun his work, and he will come again on that great day to complete his work. Hope for him, fear his name, serve him, and you will receive that blessing. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. May he bless his word to us together this evening. Let us pray together.